Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Portions of this podcast have been edited due to copyright.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is August 26th. It is Wednesday, 5:31. Thank you all for being here midweek. We are halfway to the weekend. Hopefully it's been a good one for you all so far. We are so ready to go. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. I mean, yesterday was kind of a sad day just with the news of Dolly. And honestly, I haven't really processed it. It's kind of like, no way. This can't be real kind of feeling. But other than that, the day was good. I was really busy after the show. I had to go over to Allegiant Stadium because we did a media tasting for all the foods that are going to be all at the home games for the Raiders. And oh my God, the food at the Allegiant Stadium is top tier.
Yeah.
It's so good. Fakasha's Locks foods. They have Taco Bell. They had like tomahawk steaks. It was so good. I left feeling so full. My heart and my stomach.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I saw that was happening and I wasn't able to make it, but it sounds like it was a good event. Lots of good stuff. I love the selection at Allegiant. They have everything from, you know, you just want something quick, a quick bite or a donut or something to a full, you know, three-course meal. It's a little bit of everything. Well, good.
Yeah, how was your day?
It was really good. I got to catch up with a friend yesterday, which definitely was needed. Someone that just, we call each other our soul sisters. She just told me what I needed to hear when I heard it, and same thing for her. I tried to help her with some stuff she's going through, and it was just a really good get-together yesterday. I had another meeting yesterday afternoon, but it was busy, but it was good. I'm just trying to get through the week. I got some stuff going on with my mom that I'm trying to navigate through a little bit. She's good. She's almost done with her radiation treatment, so we're really excited about that. But yeah, just kind of busy lately trying to get things going. I'm super excited to be here this morning and talk about Dolly. I know it's sad, but I'm trying to take a different kind of course on it with like Dollywood and looking at how amazing she was and a celebration of her and making it just a happy thing to look back on her life and the impact that she had on a lot of people. So yeah, it's just we'll definitely be talking about her quite a bit this morning. I'm sure
the resurfaced videos make me smile so big. It's like she's such a light of the world, and I know she'll be missed, but it's one of those like happy feelings for sure.
She definitely had an impact and someone that will always make you smile. So yeah, we'll talk about that this morning. A lot coming up on the show, of course. So make sure you stick around. We've got more of those tickets for you to see the Jonas Brothers. So many people trying to win these. They're coming back to town. It's a burning up tour all over again, coming to Las Vegas. So we've got those at 7:30 with the Mega Minute. We have got your tickets for 5 Seconds of Summer on the way this morning. They are coming to town. And we also have your tickets to see Lindsay Sterling. She's doing this holiday show over at the Venetian, and it is going to be so good. It's hard to believe that the holidays are actually coming up. September is next week, so that is absolutely crazy. But a lot to get to today. Thank you guys for being here. Let's do this. Let's start the show.
Yeah.
Here we go. Mix 94.1, home of Mercedes in the morning.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the news by now. Dolly Parton, she passed away yesterday at the age of 80 after a brief battle with cancer. Her nephew, Brian Seaver, broke the news on her Instagram.
I'm representing the Parton and Owens family today, announcing the passing of my Aunt Dolly, Rebecca Parton Dean. Sister, sis, Aunt Granny to one generation and Gigi to the next. Dolly has lived in the light and is in the arms of Jesus, surely met by Carl, her parents, and countless others who have watched her and longed for her to meet them in the heavens.
She passed away peacefully in Nashville. She was surrounded by the people who loved her. And honestly, if you've been on social media at all in the last day, you already know this one definitely hit a lot different. I feel like this wasn't just another celebrity headline. This was Dolly Parton and her life. I mean, if you just look at it, it's so extraordinary. It's almost too much for one person. She came out of a one-room cabin in the Smoky Mountains, one of 12 kids, dirt poor by her own description, and turned that into a career that included 7 decades of music, which is, it's just, that's on its own is huge. Then you've got the movie roles, her own theme park, a scholarship fund.
Wow.
I mean, a book giving program that's mailed out millions of free books to kids, and just enough smart business decisions to make her one of the wealthiest women in entertainment.
She was more than a country pop star. She was larger than life. Like when I think of Dolly and being introduced to her, I remember being a kid and it was during Hannah Montana, and she came out as Aunt Dolly, and I was obsessed with her ever since. And knowing that relationship between Miley, who I loved, and seeing the love she had for Dolly, it made me love her even more.
There are so many stories that are coming out now, and some that we had heard before, some we hadn't. One that I always thought was so interesting, she wrote this song, I Will Always Love You, about her own heartbreak, and then turned down Elvis's manager when he wanted half the publishing rights. And that single decision made her a fortune for the rest of her life, you know?
So crazy.
She was such a smart businesswoman. She was funny. She was generous. She never once acted like any of it went to her head, which is, you know, just extraordinary considering what she did. But here's what I keep coming back to, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Why was Dolly Parton literally loved by everyone?
Yes.
Because we don't agree much on much anymore, right? Like music, politics, pineapple on pizza. Like we don't agree on anything. But Dolly, she could walk into any room in America and every single person in it would light up.
She was authentically the celebrity that everybody loved, and celebrities loved her as well. I don't know bad things about Dolly Parton.
Yeah. My theory is that she never asked you to be like her. She just let you kind of be herself. She was always in on the jokes. She was self-deprecating in a funny way, you know, like her wigs and her rhinestones and always making jokes about that. And before anyone else could, that was the thing. So that gave the rest of us permission to stop taking ourselves so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't selling perfection. She was selling joy, really. And joy doesn't need you to vote a certain way or to like a certain thing. It just lets you enjoy it. So just a beautiful life. And the thing with her is she will live on forever because of the wonderful person she was.
Mm-hmm. And she's loved by many.
I love to hear some of her quotes. It's just like, it makes you think, you know.
You are enough, and anyone who tells you otherwise isn't worth your time. You got this. Yes, I'm talking to you. Other people didn't always believe in me, and in those times, I had to believe in myself. Plus, nothing's better than proving people wrong. Make a list of the things you love about yourself, and if you tell yourself enough nice things, eventually, you'll believe them too.
Our text lines are lighting up. Denise says, I'm not even a country music person. I'm sitting in my car crying at a red light right now. Dolly made everybody feel like family. This one says, your theory is right. She never made you pick a side. She just made you happy to be alive for a minute. So, yeah, we definitely want to pay tribute to Dolly today. And in doing so, let's play one of her songs, one of her iconic songs. Jolene, it's on Mix 94.1.
to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's your host, Mercedes.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, guys. It's August 26th, 6:04. I can't believe we're at the end of August. This month is flying by. This year is flying by. Once we get into the burr months, it's over. It's like it might as well be Christmas, in my opinion.
When is September 1st? Next Thursday?
September 1st, yeah, is Tuesday.
Wow.
So it's right around the corner, and the pumpkin spice latte is out now, and I feel like it's still 105 degrees out, but still, it's fall-ish, kind of.
Make
really.
Your predictions on when we're going to get into the 90s.
Oh, gosh. I want to say I saw the weather report yesterday, and it said next week we're going to cool down. Yeah, 90s next week.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank the Lord.
That sounds so cold. But it's still the 90s, so there you go. I saw the weirdest thing yesterday. I was looking at stuff on social media, and I guess this is a whole new trend now. Have you heard of barefoot high heels?
No, I've not.
This is so ridiculous. We have officially lost our minds. I cannot even tell you some of the things that go viral or become trends, and I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm not the uncoolest person. I'm not the coolest person, but I'm not the uncoolest. And this is just dumb, like so dumb. So picture a gorgeous high heel, right? Except there's no strap over the top of your foot, and there's nothing underneath your arch either. It's just basically a heel in the back, and then the ball of your foot is straight up touching the ground. So Jeffrey Campbell just dropped these, and Chanel has their own version of them too. They're retailing for like $2,000. So somewhere out there, there's this runway model who is paying $2,000 to feel like she stepped in gum. Like, I don't understand this. People online are losing it. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
I'm looking at the pictures right now. They look like half gladiator shoes. Do you know those gladiator sandals?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Were big?
Oh, I had them.
Oh, I love those. That's a trend that I won't regret. I love my gladiator sandals, but it's like half a gladiator sandal. So do I get half off on these barefoot high heels?
Your feet still touch the ground. It's just your heel doesn't, but the rest of your foot does. And it's like, I think about all the trends that we've all fallen for that we look back and we're like, why did I do that? Because we've all worn or done something because everyone else was wearing it or doing it. And if you look back at, if you're wearing these sandals and you look back 5 years from now, I'm convinced you're going to be so like embarrassed that you did this. So just don't jump on this one. I don't know a lot of people that have the $2,000 to spend on a pair of half shoes, which is what these basically look at. But I was thinking about like, okay, what trend did I jump in on that I look back on now and I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? And do you remember bandage dresses?
Bandage dress? Explain that to me.
It's like a tight, ribbed, zipper up the side. It looks like you got mummified.
Oh my gosh. Like the bodycon type
yes,
of dresses.
Yes.
Okay.
I had an electric blue bandage dress and I loved it. And I even wore it to a radio station event. We were celebrating something I will admit it was a flattering dress because it basically sucked everything in.
But now I'm like,
I have it still in my closet and I look at it and I'm like, I wore that.
Please.
Oh my gosh. And I wore it with gladiator sandals just to add to it. But I look like a fruit roll up.
Please. I need to see pictures of this.
Oh my gosh. I love that dress. I looked like I was a sexy Trojan soldier who also sold mattresses.
Please tell me you had your hair up in like a high bun. I literally had it up in like a French twist.
Not even lying.
I love that.
That was my thing. Do you have a trend that you partook in and you're like, not my best moment? 702-364-9400.
The middle school trend we had was at Plaza Bonita, with the mall we used to go to all the time. They had this these custom carts that you would go and bring in your shirts or whatever. And they did belts. And they did custom nameplate belts. And I'm telling you, these nameplates were huge. So I remember getting it, 7th grade, and I had my name, STEPH, all bedazzled. I wore the thing every day, and me and my friend group, we would match. So it would be like Steph, Joanne, Desi. We had all matching nameplate belts, and I don't know where it's at, but man, those things were so huge back in the day, but I would never, ever bring that back
again. I know. Some of the decisions we made are so questionable. This text just came in. Mine was Ed Hardy everything. Shirt, hat, belt buckle. That is funny. I remember the Ed Hardy thing. I feel like it's kind of coming back. I see a lot of Gen Z starting to dip their toe in that pool. This one says skinny eyebrows. I plucked mine into oblivion in like 2007. This one says I wore Crocs with jeans tucked into them to my own birthday dinner and thought I was being fashion forward. How do you even tuck your jeans into a Croc?
I wonder if it's
maybe
like
in the strap in the back?
Yeah, and on the top too, where you can tuck
it. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
And then this one says, my sweatpants that said juicy across the butt in cursive. Loud and proud. No regrets. Actually, bring them back.
I feel like Tom Holland is bringing it back.
Those
with
are
new
definitely
Spider-Man movie.
Coming back. That is so funny. Well, we've got a lot coming up on the show this morning. Of course, we're going to talk about the death of an icon, Dolly Parton. Pay tribute to her this morning. I know a lot of people are feeling that one. So we'll talk about that this morning. Also, your tickets to see 5 Seconds of Summer with Beat Mercedes at 7 a.m. A pair of tickets to see the Jonas Brothers with the Mega Minute at 7:30. And at 8:25, we'll have your tickets to see Lindsey Stirling with Heads Up.
It's Mix 94.1 with Mercedes in the morning.
Have you ever had someone stick their nose into something that was completely none of their business, but they had no idea they were even doing it? So Kylie Kelce, the wife of Jason Kelce, she just gave a perfect example of it on her latest podcast. She is talking about something that's been happening to her for years. People asking her and her husband if they are going to keep trying to get a boy. Now, she's got 4 daughters, Wyatt, Elliot, Bennett, and Finn. And she made it pretty clear she's not remotely bothered by the fact that none of them are boys.
I think that we are not less fulfilled because we have 4 girls. So your suggestion of like, you are not living a fulfilled life without a son is silly.
What do you think about that? Is there something that someone has asked you and you're like, what? Like, something you wish that they would just stop asking you? 702-364-9400. And have you been in this situation? What really got people talking wasn't just the fact that she pushed back. It's just how she kind of framed the whole thing. She pointed out that most people never stop to think about that, like the fact that nobody does that a lot in reverse, or maybe they do. Are there any boy moms out there and they're constantly asked if you're going to try for a girl? It just, I hear it a lot with all girls and they're, oh, are you going to try for that boy? Oh, do you really want to try for a boy? It's like, you're not really a parent unless you have a boy. And it, I've been there. So I totally understood what she was talking about.
Yeah, as a mom of 2 daughters, I can't imagine, especially when they were younger, they're like, okay, when are you getting a boy? Did you get that a lot?
Yeah, people used to ask us that constantly. And it felt like everywhere we went, someone had an opinion about whether we're going to try again. And it wasn't just me getting asked either. It was Matt too. Sometimes he got asked more than I did. And every single time it lands the same way. It just felt like they thought our family wasn't finished. you know?
Yeah.
Like Two Girls was just a stepping stone to the real thing instead of it actually being the real thing. And I don't know. No one ever says it quite as bluntly as Kylie Kelce did, but I don't know. It's just kind of what is underneath the question. Do I think that they meant harm in asking? No, I don't. I don't think they were being malicious. But same time, every time it would happen, I was just like, here we go again. No, we're good. We really enjoy having our girls.
Yeah. You know, what was your response to that?
That was all I ever said. I never needed to have a son to feel like our family was complete. I never felt like anything was missing. But has anyone else done that or felt that way? Or is there a question that people ask and you're like, okay, one, not your business. Two, why are you asking me this? 702-364-9400.
It's always the question for James and I. When are you having kids?
Oh, yeah.
We're in your mid-30s. It's going to get harder as you get older. You thought of IVF. I'm like, first of all, I don't have money for one kid right now. How would I afford IVF and everything that surrounds me aging and getting older? It's the family persuading me. When are you going to have children? And I don't know. I want to have them soon, and I don't want to count them out because I've always wanted to be a mom. That's never the question. It's just the timing is not right, and that's just simply it.
I will say the timing's never right.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've heard that
just
too.
So you know that the timing's never right, but it's up to you. It's yeah. not up to anyone else.
Exactly.
You know?
I want to keep living my life just a little bit longer.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll still live it. It doesn't end when you have kids. It's just a different kind of life, you know?
Right.
Jen, hey, good morning. What is it for you? Do you have a question that people ask you all the time that you're sick of?
No, I'm just commenting about the boy and girl factor. I don't think it's so much about people asking about if you're going to have a boy.
Different kind of like, you know.
Oh. Well, I think it's, you know, more like fulfilling the family name, you know.
Yeah, and that may be so important to a lot of people. It's not something that I was like, oh, we must. And my husband was never like that either. Like, it just, I don't know, people meant nothing by it, but it's kind of insensitive, especially you don't know if something happened. Like,
yeah.
You know, just being straight up, between my two girls, I had a miscarriage, and people don't know that.
Yeah.
We did try. Like, we don't know what it was, but you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, it was a hard time. So when people are like, you keep trying, like, what? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's really hard. We're getting a bunch of text here. This one says, my grandma asked me every Thanksgiving why I'm still single, like I'm hiding a husband or something. This one says, a coworker asked me how much my house cost right in front of five other people.
Gosh.
Innocent to her, mortifying for me. This says, I got asked, are you sure you should be eating that at work? At a potluck? Wow.
I don't know why, but I feel like all of these people are asking these insensitive questions. I'm picturing Boomer. They're all boomers, just like out of pocket, straight to the point and blunt.
Yeah, it's okay to focus on yourself and not be so nosy and in everyone else's business. Tommy just wrote, my uncle asked me every year if I found a real job. I do have a real job.
I'm a real boy.
Not to your uncle.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
So here's what happens when an entire country loses its favorite aunt at the same time. Everyone logs onto the internet within about 4 minutes of each other, and the internet says, absolutely not. Dolly Parton fans flooded the Dollywood website yesterday looking for some way, any way, to honor her, and they crashed the whole site.
Wow.
Yeah, if you missed the news, Dolly Parton passed away yesterday at the age of 80 after a brief battle with cancer. It wasn't down long, but when it came back online, there was a statement front and center from Dollywood president Eugene Naughton honoring what he called his dreamer in chief, which was very sweet. He wrote that Dolly's heart was as vast as the mountains she cherished, and her compassion knew no bounds. She inspired generations to dream boldly and love deeply. Following her wishes, the park is staying open, and they're encouraging people to put their energy and their dollars towards her imagination library instead of, you know, say buying a commemorative shot glass or something like that. Fans have been all over Reddit asking whether they should make the pilgrimage to the park this week. And the answer from literally everyone was the same. Yes, go. Absolutely. So if you're thinking about it, just know you will not be alone out there. Bring patience, bring tissues, bring a very high tolerance for crowds, because there's going to be a lot of people out there.
With all of the resurfaced interviews about her, I didn't know that she has an unreleased song that's going to come out when she turns 100 at 20, well, I guess in 2045 when she would have turned 100. And it's in Dollywood. That was a surprise to me. I'm like, oh, well, if I'm still around in 2045, I'm looking forward to a new Dolly song.
Well, we were talking about her a couple of days ago before all this, about how they were talking about the Dolly hologram concert. And it's just crazy that this happened afterwards. I saw something that I thought really, really has some legs. And I think we should all think about doing this. So making a commemorative Dolly Parton Day, and that day should be September 25th, because that day is 925. Don't you think that should be dollar?
What's 925? The meaning for 925?
The meaning of 925?
925! Brilliant.
Isn't that so smart? It's not my idea. I saw someone else post that. I was like, that is brilliant. Why don't we make September 25th Dolly Parton Day?
Oh my God. That makes my heart so happy. It took me some time to think about it, because I'm over here thinking like, okay, it does 9 represent like her first name.
No.
And then, oh my God.
9 to 5. I think there's something with that. So I know a lot of people are just so touched by her and her words. I mean, just listen to this. This is her talking to Miley Cyrus.
And you know, one thing that touches me most of all is when you had me on the Hannah Montana show back years ago, you really helped my career. You introduced me to a whole new set of fans, young ones. Of course, they're not all as young as they used to be now.
Well, you wrote the handbook on how to stay young.
Well, I've got the Dr. Bills to prove that.
And when the time comes, you're giving me all the numbers.
Oh, I'm saving them for you.
I bet it looks like the Yellow Pages by now.
Oh, ain't she funny?
She's just so cute. I love her. So, yeah, that's definitely, I think, weighing on a lot of people today. Love, love, love Dolly Parton. Also this morning, are you a desk lunch person? Do you eat with your hands while you're typing an email or scrolling or whatever? Well, microbiologists, they want you to know your keyboard has quietly become a 5-star establishment for bacteria. And you are the head chief on this one. Here's the science of it. Saliva from your fingers mixes with whatever food residue is left behind, and that combo turns your keys into what researchers are literally calling a bacteria cafeteria.
Oh, no!
Some of the bacteria can survive on the surface for days. Meanwhile, you're just typing away, unaware, you know, that your keyboard's become this entire ecosystem. The fix is not complicated, though. Wash your hands, hit them with sanitizer before you go back to typing. Give your keyboard an actual wipe down every once in a while instead of just kind of staring at it. No one's saying stop eating at your desk. Just stop feeding your keyboard while you're at it.
Do you eat in type?
Well, like, I'll have like a protein bar or something while we're working, or I'll bring my hard-boiled eggs in, and I always wash my hands before and after I do that, just because I do feel the residue on my fingers and I don't want it getting all over my stuff.
I'm guilty because I just ate cashews this morning, and I was eating cashews with my left hand and scrolling on my phone with my right.
Yeah.
And I don't think I sanitized my hands afterwards, and I immediately went on the keyboard. So,
give it a quick wipe down this morning.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Finally, this morning, every couple of months, Mountain Dew, I feel like they do something that makes you go, there's no way. And then, yes, there turns out to be a way. This time it's soap. So the men's grooming brand Duke Cannon has teamed up with Mountain Dew to make body wash and soap pucks that smell like Mountain Dew. What? And they're showing up at select Walmarts right now. People who have gotten their hands on it say it smells shockingly close to the real soda. Like, you could theoretically shower and feel like you are standing in the gas station and the fountain drink aisle. Like, it's crazy. When this first started circulating, half the internet was convinced this was AI because it just sounded too random to be true, but it is a very real product on real shelves. And this just joins the Mountain Dew extended universe that they have with things like they have a baseball glove, they have a birthday cake flavored Slurpee with 7-Eleven. So I don't know. I'm waiting for like the Mountain Dew scented candle, the Mountain Dew socks. Like they've got their hands in everything.
I love Mountain Dew, and I just don't think I could put Mountain Dew flavor on my skin with my eczema and my dry skin. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that sounds like the bacteria cafeteria that we were talking about. All right, talking about Dolly earlier. Let's play a Dolly song, shall we?
Bring it in now. This is Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
A labor and delivery nurse is speaking out about the biggest mistakes that dads make in the delivery room. And she's seen about enough to write a book. I mean, did your husband behave? Or did your baby daddy, did he need a babysitter for, you know, when he was in the delivery room with you? What bad behavior or odd behavior did you experience from dad in the delivery room? 702-364-9400. This nurse works in San Diego. She's a mom of seven herself.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's assisted in hundreds of births. So she's not exaggerating when she says that she has seen it all. But she wanted to be clear that most dads are really attentive, very caring. But the ones who aren't have given her some stories. I guess the Xbox guys are a new and real category in the delivery room these days. So many guys ask her how to hook up their console to the delivery room TV while their partner is in active labor.
Stop. What? Your priority is to play your game than to tend to your wife?
Yeah. They're more interested in being entertained than being present.
Like delivering a baby isn't entertaining.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then there's the dads who won't let their partners speak for themselves, answering every question the nurse asks. So that's the worst. When someone's asking you a question and someone answers it for you.
Like, yeah.
How are you feeling? She's fine. But she needs to let her answer.
Like, I get it. Like, you're protective of your wife. But, like, yeah, she can answer.
She's going through it. Let her answer it. What else? She says a shocking number of guys show up high. She's in a state where it's legal. And I guess that makes a lot of guys feel like they have the right to test it out. So guys take a lot of business calls in the room instead of stepping in the hallway. Some eat through the entire delivery. The worst offenders, according to her, though, are the ones who somehow find a way to make it sexual. You know, like the gloves going on for a cervical check and he's like, hey, you're hot.
What?
Yeah, that's kind of stuff is a no-go. So is there anyone listening who had a guy who maybe displayed not the greatest behavior in the delivery room? 702-364-9400. I think most dads get it right.
Yeah.
I think most dads are not controlling the room and they're there to be supportive, but sometimes they don't mean to do it. Like, where they don't realize they're watching this birth and they are like, oh my gosh. And then they're the ones that need tending to because they're feeling so woozy.
How was Matt during your girl's labor?
He was great. He was fabulous. I was so grateful to have him there because he was actually an advocate for me, but he did get kicked out of the delivery room.
What?
The first time. I feel like I've told this story a million times. He got kicked out because I was getting my epidural and the anesthesiologist, I think, was having a bad day because he came in just with an attitude right off the bat. I could tell he was mad. And this is my first kid. I was like, and so I was asking questions and I could tell he was annoyed with my questions. And so I stopped asking him. I started to be quiet, but Matt was picking up on it. So the guy insults me. He told me basically I have a fat back.
What do you mean you have a fat back? Like the shot would have fit?
He's like, I'm having a hard time here. You know, you have some back fat. Literally, I'm 9 months pregnant. What do you, like, I'm sorry. I didn't do my back exercises before.
I have a feeling Matt got in between.
So Matt got so mad and he's like, what are you doing, man? So then he goes to poke me to put the epidural in. He misses. This needle is this long. It's gigantic.
Yeah.
So he has to pull it out and do it again. And Matt says, this is unacceptable. The guy goes, get him out of here. Get him out of here right now. I need to concentrate. So the poor nurse escorted Matt out. So he had to go into the hall while I was getting this epidural. Meanwhile, I'm too scared to say a word. I'm like ready to cry.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Matt's behavior.
God. I can see Matt in the waiting room pacing back and forth. I need to see my wife.
Oh, he was so angry.
I would be too.
Yuna, good morning. Did you have a situation in the delivery room?
Yes. My husband and my anesthesiologist were best friends, and all they spoke about was cycling because they're big into cycling for hours and hours and hours.
And so they ignored you?
Yeah, all I could hear was Tour de France, Tour de France.
Why do you guys do that? That's their way to bond, you know? I mean, I kind of love that because maybe it took some of the pressure off of you. But yeah, you're like, hey, I'm the patient here. Can you please do something? Thanks for calling you. Now let's talk to Lucy. Lucy, what happened in the delivery room with you?
Well, actually with me, what was funny that I did have to have a C-section. And mind you, my husband is 6'4". And the surgeon at the time was like maybe like 5'1", 5'2". So when my husband had to sit behind me, they had to keep fixing the sheets to where my husband couldn't see them do the surgery on me. And the guy kept telling my husband, the surgeon, can you please sit down, sir? You cannot watch this. And he's like, sir, I am sitting down. And finally, when the guy was like, wait, what do you mean you're sitting down? They go check on my husband. And he goes, oh, my God, you're such a big man. Can you fix this sheet for us instead of us trying to fix it? Because obviously we're not doing a good job.
That is so funny. It's like, I am sitting down. I'm very tall. That's adorable, though. We just got this text. It says, I got so nervous I started organizing her hospital bag by color when she was in active labor. She says, I was nesting already. That's cute. That's from Brian. This one says, I got kicked out too, but for falling asleep standing up and almost hitting my head on the monitor. This is from Ashley. My husband narrated the whole birth like a sports commentator. And she's pushing, folks. Big push coming up.
I would be like, I'm going to be the one he needs to leave. I would make them kick him out if he started
doing
that. That
is so funny. And then Chris says, I asked one too many questions and the doctor looked at me and said, sir, I need you to just hold her hand and stop talking. That was kind of humbling. Let's talk to Billy. Billy, hey, good morning. What happened to you?
When my oldest son was born, they put me in all the nurse, the gown and stuff. And I was in the hallway when it was time to get the epidural. And I just remember hearing this loud, oh! And I was like, whoa, what was that?
But at least you were in the hallway, right? Could you imagine if you were in the room?
Yeah, no, exactly. I can't believe that they do that thing.
I mean, we're pretty strong, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I love it. Give us the credit we deserve.
I am nervous to when I have to have my first baby and the monster I might be with James. I've already told him, and I'm not pregnant, but I said one day when I have to get to that point, I'm sorry in advance.
Oh, I think you'll be fine. I think a weird calm comes over you. And it's the guys who start freaking out.
Really?
Yeah. Their nerves, you see it. I was calm. I was fine. He was the one who started freaking out. Danielle just said, mine ate an entire Chipotle bowl in the room and then had the audacity to ask if I wanted a bite. Because you can't eat during that time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That is the audacity. So you're going to be fine. Just James, tell him to just relax.
And then get me sushi when I'm done.
Exactly. I had my order all set, ready to go. It was Fat Burger.
Oh, that's right. That's a great order, by the way.
I want Fat Burger. That's it.
That could be day two.
All right, let's do this. It is time to win. Time for the Mega Minute. We've got your ticket.
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Okay, let's get our contestant. It's Rhiannon. Good morning, Rhiannon. You're caller 20.
Woo-hoo! Good morning.
How are you? What's going on this morning?
just driving my kids to school, and my son decided to call in.
Oh.
Like, this morning, and he got through.
Nothing like being put on the spot. You're like, wait, what? We're doing what?
So, I haven't had coffee yet.
Oh, no, you got this. So if any of you are knowing the answer to any of these 10 questions I'm about to ask you, shout it out. If I hear the correct answer, we're going to move on. You get 60 seconds to answer them all correct. Are you guys ready to do this?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
Today is Wednesday. What day is 15 days from now?
Thursday.
Yes. What is the name of the cat in Alice in Wonderland?
Pass.
What singer is known for the song A Thousand Miles?
Pass.
Kobe Bryant spent his entire NBA career with which team?
Like,
yes. What is the sixth letter in the alphabet?
F.
Yes. Which movie has the iconic quote, I see dead people?
The Sixth Sense.
Yes. Who lived in a shoe in a famous nursery rhyme?
The Old Woman.
Yes. What is the capital city of Portugal?
Oh, pass.
The Silver State is the nickname of which state?
Nevada.
Yes. What is the name of the first Indiana Jones movie?
The Lost Ark.
Say it again.
The Lost Ark?
No. What is the name of the cat in Alice? Darn it.
The Cheshire Cat.
The Cheshire Cat is correct. Oh, Rhiannon, I'm sorry you did not conquer the Mega Minute. You got that one a little late. The singer that's known for the song A Thousand Miles, that's Vanessa Carlton. The capital city of Portugal is Lisbon, and you almost had it. That's why I had to ask you to repeat yourself. What is the name of the first Indiana Jones movie? You said The Lost Ark. It's actually Raiders of the Lost Ark.
So close, though.
I know. Not close enough, though. We got to take the correct answers. Unfortunately, it did not work out, Rhiannon. I'm so sorry, but you still have a chance to win because we're going to get you these tickets to 5 Seconds of Summer right now for caller 20. They're going to be at PH Live at Planet Hollywood this weekend.
Hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
I don't think that there's a version of this show where we can't not talk about the death of Dolly Parton. She passed away yesterday at 80 years old after a brief and private battle with cancer. And if you're anything like me, that sentence just does not fully compute yet. It's just, it's so hard to believe. She died at Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center in Nashville, surrounded by the people she loved. Her nephew, Brian Seaver, was the one who broke the news.
I'm representing the Parton and Owens family today, announcing the passing of my Aunt Dolly, Rebecca Parton Dean. Sister, sis, Aunt Granny to one generation and Gigi to the next. Dolly has lived in the light and is in the arms of Jesus, surely met by Carl, her parents, and countless others who have watched her and longed for her to meet them in the heavens.
Dolly was just a light to so many people, and funny and soft and a little bit sparkly, just right up to the very end. She's going to be laid to rest in a small private service at Woodlawn Memorial Park in Nashville, right next to her husband, Carl Dean, who she lost just last year. Her family is asking that instead of flowers, you donate to her Imagination Library, the book program that she built to put a book in the hands of every kid who ever needed one. And I feel like that's the most Dolly legacy possible, really, on that. Not the rhinestones and not the records, but just, you know, a stack of free books showing up in some kid's mailbox because she thought it might help. It shows who she was. She sold more than 160 million records. She wrote songs like Jolene, 9 to 5, in like one sitting, built an entire theme park out of nothing but her name and her hometown pride. And And still, she just felt like everyone's favorite aunt, you know? Yes. So today's just a kind of one of those days to reflect on what a great person she was.
And she never strayed away from her roots. You know, she said she grew up dirt poor. And I didn't know that the reason why she created Imagination Library is because her dad didn't know how to read and write. And that inspired her to say, I don't want any kid to go without literacy. And she built that. And bigger than just a country pop star, like the thing she did in her life was so iconic.
Well, she was just more than a singer. She was a philanthropist. She was an actress. She was a businesswoman. She was a baker. Like she did it all. It was just so impressive. And so a lot of people thinking about Dolly. We'll hear after the Hot 3 play another one of her 25 number one hits that she had throughout her career. So that is coming up here in just a minute. Also this morning, they just released the rankings of America's favorite dog breeds of 2026. And I don't know, I kind of felt like the results were a little surprising to me. The number one most popular dog in the country isn't a breed at all. It's just a mutt, which actually I love. I love that. A glorious, like no papers, could be anything, non-designer, mixed breed. I just, that makes me so happy that those are the kinds of dogs that are being taken home these days. Yes, the other breeds are absolutely adorable, but sometimes these ones get overlooked. So it's nice to hear that they're not getting overlooked anymore. Labrador Retrievers came in second, Golden Retrievers third, and then rounding out the top five for the most popular dog breeds this year were Golden Doodles and German Shepherds.
Yeah, the big dogs get all the love. Are there any small dogs on the top 10?
Looking at some of these, there's a Pomeranian.
Okay.
It's called a Pomsky, which is a Husky and Pomeranian mix.
Yes, my friend has a Pomsky.
Yeah, those are on the list. So yeah, it's always interesting to see the dog trends, and they change all the time. So that is going on. And then finally this morning, you may have seen this video. It was actually like a still of a police department that they put out in Albany, Georgia. They decided the biggest crime they needed to crack this week was a guy who found $30 on the ground at Walmart and just kept walking. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
No.
They posted his surveillance picture on Facebook asking the public to help identify this man, describing it like it was some kind of heist or something. Like literally the guy found $30 on the ground at Walmart, picked it up, and put it in his pocket. Like, that's what he did. And the internet went crazy on this. People were dragging the department, saying their tax dollars should probably go towards something a little bigger than a guy pocketing some lunch money. But here's the twist. It actually worked. The post went viral locally, and the guy saw himself online, and he actually turned himself in and handed the $30 back.
Did.
Yeah, the guy who lost it decided not to press charges, so no harm, no foul on this, but the guy gets to keep his freedom and presumably never touches any free money on the ground again. I mean, if you found $30 on the ground, there's no one around you, what are you going to do?
I'm keeping
it. It's mine.
I would have kept it too.
I've kept $100 before in the dressing room.
Wow.
And it's like, we're such in tough times that we're complaining about $30. Really? That's sad.
I just think about, like, okay, what was he supposed to do? He's probably supposed to turn it in to the desk. But like, I don't know. Then I always think, well, they're just going to pocket it, you know. But Georgia, they're never going to disappoint us. The police chief, they held a press conference on Monday about like actual crimes that they're committing. And then he still had to take time to defend this Walmart $30 manhunt, which he told reporters, property is property. So that's the why they investigated this whole thing.
Imagine being in jail because I picked up $30.
I know. Sorry. It's so ridiculous. All right. It's time to pay tribute to Dolly again this morning.
Turn it up.
This is Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right. So this is interesting. Does the thought of your kid behind the wheel make your stomach drop a little bit? Because there are some states that are handling that fear a little better than others. Wallet Hub just dropped their annual ranking of the best and worst states for teen drivers, grading all 50 of us on 23 things like fatality rates, insurance costs, how strict they are with the driving laws. New York took the top spot this year thanks to fewer teen fatalities, fewer DUI arrests. But that's 5 years running as one of the best states. The worst state is Montana. Not the first time either. They're usually up there. So Nevada landed at number 34. So not the worst, not bragging rights, just kind of hanging out in the middle, which I think that feels about right with how it's gone with teaching my kids to drive.
Really? I don't know why I would feel like we were so much worse because we get such a bad rap for being such bad drivers that I would think it correlates to the teenage drivers as well.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. My kids, their teaching has been an experience. Matt tries to take them out and they're not having it. They're not having it. The other day, they went out and Brooklyn comes back and goes, "I never want to drive with him again." And I was like, What happened? I gave her the number to call. She said she can't get through on our hotline. So call the request line if you can. Have you had any issues with driving and teaching your kids how to drive? 702-364-9400. Sophie did the same thing when learning. Like they both look him dead in the eye and they're like, "No, thank you." They don't want to do it. I'll wait for mom. So I don't know. It's just it's a weird situation. I think I am a little more patient than he is when it comes to driving.
Is it because what kind of drivers are they, if you're being honest?
Well, Sophie's a very cautious driver. She's a really good driver. Brooklyn's still learning. I want to give her a little credit. Like, she's still trying. We didn't teach her as early as we did with Sophie. And so she's still kind of in her learning phase right now, which it has been an experience. She's a little, she likes to drive a little quickly.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. She's getting better. I will say that. I don't want her to get mad at me here.
Are you having them drive outside of like your guys' neighborhood, or are they going out on the
Brooklyn's driving to school.
Okay. And then now outside, like on the freeway to the strip, like stuff like that.
Freeway, yes. Strip, no. That's a whole nother thing. It's really... It's one of those situations where it's like, what battles do you want to fight, you know? Ashley, hey, good morning. We're talking about the best and the worst states for teen drivers. What do you think?
I think that it's better to just wait when you're ready. There's no rush to get your license.
I notice that kids are getting their licenses later these days. Like, have you noticed that too?
I did personally. I waited till I was about 21.
And you just had people take you around, or?
Yeah, I did public transportation or waited, till someone could come pick me up or give me a ride.
Yeah.
But that was when gas was a lot cheaper back then, too.
This is very true. Yeah, you have to take that into an account. Let's talk to Miriam. Miriam, you have a 17 and a 16-year-old. How's that going with driving?
Oh, my God. My boy, it's a 17-year-old. He was a better driver, but he started practicing more. But our daughter is just not having it. She doesn't like driving with my husband. She likes waiting for me because he has no patience.
What is it about that? Is it just that the guys are a little more aggressive and kind of give them orders more than moms?
Yes, he goes from 0 to 100 and said, "You're gonna hit the car, stop, stop." And he's just like, "I'm not doing this." And she's like, "Park the car." And she's like, "I'm not doing it. You're making me nervous." And then she's like, "I want to do it with you."
So then we
switch seats. She doesn't even lie when he's in the front seat.
That is relatable. And speak of the devil, my husband Matt is on the phone. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Are you with our lovely daughter?
No, she got kicked out of the car.
Oh, she did? Yeah. So are you calling to defend yourself or what?
I wouldn't necessarily say defend myself, but you wear the angel wings when it comes to teaching these kids how to drive.
And you wear what? The devil horns? What is it?
Oh, man. I wouldn't even say horns, man. I got the pitchfork and the flames, man.
Stop.
Oh,
what makes it like difficult when you're watching the girls drive?
One thing, she knows it all, and it's just mind-boggling. It's just nuts. So, yeah, we found a happy medium where I follow her to school.
Stop! You're following Brooklyn to school?
She drives, but he's in the car behind her following her!
What? How has she been driving lately, Matt?
She's actually done very, very well. Mercedes gave her some fine tips on parking, and it's great. But I'm not really concerned with her driving so much, though. It's her neighbor at the school. He slipped into her DMs trying to offer her $20 for a parking spot because he came out and said he can't park.
And we've seen him park, and it's a challenge.
Really?
Yeah, so...
Yeah. $20? Honestly, in this economy, I would take it.
She thought about it, I think. She thought about it for half a second. Yeah, what is it for you? Have you had, like, a bad... Ladies, in the morning, we're talking about that new Wallet Hub study that just came out about the best and worst states for teen drivers. Nevada landed right kind of in the middle, 34, not great, not terrible, just kind of there. But one thing we were talking about is teens waiting longer to get their license. Like back in the days, 16, you turn 16 and it's like, boom, I'm getting that license. I'm learning how to drive. And something that a lot of people have been noticing that teens are waiting a little bit longer to get their license.
Yeah, it's crazy because yesterday when we were out at a media event, one of our coworkers was like, yeah, I got to go. I got to pick up my kid. I was like, wait, isn't your kid in college? He goes to UNLV. He goes, yep, he is not ready to drive. I can't afford that insurance right now. And he's behind the wheel. I don't want him driving around Maryland Parkway because the construction is too crazy. And apparently... this is the thing, because a second old coworker said the same thing. Yep, I'm in the passenger, or I'm in the parent pickup line here at UNLV.
They have a parent pickup line, like, at the elementary schools at UNLV?
I don't know if it's a sign, but he.
Oh my gosh.
She did say, yep, there's other parents waiting for their kids to get out of their college classes. So I'm like, this must be a thing nowadays.
That is so funny. I would do it just because parking, well, when I went to UNLV, parking was terrible. Mm. I know they built a big parking garage, so it might be better. But just for that alone, I would ask someone to drop me off, even if I could drive. But do they just not have their licenses? Or
yes, it's both. It's they don't have their licenses, and it's maybe for different reasons. It could be insurance. It could be
wow. They're
not ready. But I never heard of anything like that.
Anthony, what's up? What do you think?
I think kids need to take their time.
You too. Do you think driving is different these days?
Yes. The era is totally different. I mean, back then, I know when I was young, yes, I had a heavy foot. But as I got older, I realized that I don't need to go so fast.
Yeah, you're still going to get there. You probably get there at the same time with all the red lights and stuff. Have you ever driven and like some guy passes you and is a crazy person and then you catch up to them at the red light?
I literally go through that every day of the week when I take my son to school.
Yeah, it's like a battlefield out there. I totally get it. Gina just texted us, says, my son is 20, still hasn't gotten his license. I'm basically his Uber. Marcus says, Maryland Parkway construction has been going on since the Clinton administration.
It's supposed to be done in the fall. I don't know when, but you are so right. It's been going on forever.
Deb says, kids today don't have the same urgency we did. My son said Ubers are easier than learning how to drive. And then this one from Nadia says, honestly, I think some parents just aren't ready to let go, myself included. Mm. Oh, I'm ready to let go. Like, go. I'm tired of being your Uber.
Oh my God.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Shelly, you're caller 20. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are you up to this morning?
Oh, my goodness, just dropped the kids off at school and heading home.
Oh, awesome. Well, let's get you a pair of tickets to see Lindsay Sterling for her Snow Waltz holiday tour coming to the Venetian. Pick a category. Do you want to go with Real Talk, August All-Stars, or It's Morphin' Time?
Oh, August All-Stars.
August All-Stars. Okay, perfect. These are all celebrities that were born in the month of August, okay?
Oh no. Okay.
I know. We'll get it, though. We just need six. So I'll try to give you some good clues on this one, all right?
Okay,
let's do this.
You guys got this. Your 60 seconds for Heads Up starts now.
She's the queen of pop, Like a Virgin.
Madonna.
Yes. She is Kendall's little sister, Kim, Chloe, Courtney.
Oh, God.
She's the one that was married to Travis Scott. She's with Timothy Chalamet now.
Oh my God, the girl. Oh, I can't think of her name.
Minogue has the less. Okay, let's pass. He was in The Office.
Kylie.
Yes, we'll give you that. He was in The Office. Okay. Michael Scott, the 40-year-old virgin, the actor.
Oh my God, I can't think of his name.
Let's pass. This guy was in School of Rock. He was the wacky teacher. He, peaches.
Oh my God, why can't I think of anybody's name?
Okay, we'll pass. She was in There's Something About Mary. She had the funny hair.
Cameron Diaz
is right. Oh, I'm sorry, Shelly. Okay, that was harder than I anticipated.
It was hard.
You got Kylie Jenner. That was one of them. Then it was Steve Carell, the Michael Scott guy.
Yeah,
that's right, right?
No, you're right.
I didn't watch The Office, so I wasn't 100% sure, but I know he's a 40-year-old virgin. And then Jack Black. My Peaches song was not good.
That was actually hysterical. I was like, come on, Jack Black.
It's funny when you know people from, like, he's done so many other things, and that's literally what stuck with me. So, Shelly, I'm sorry. That was really hard, but let's give these tickets away. You can still win them. Caller 20 right now. We're going to get you the tickets to see Lindsay Sterling for the Snow Waltz Tour at the Venetian. Who wants them? Caller 20, you get them right now.
Here we go. This is my station.
It's Mix 94.1 with Mercedes in the morning.
Well, if you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've been talking about it all morning. Dolly Parton passed away yesterday at the age of 80 after a brief battle with cancer. She was surrounded by the people who loved her. Her nephew made the announcement on Instagram. And since then, it's been nonstop tributes. Flags at half staff. Empire State Building last night lit up pink, which was really cool. Artists across every genre posting about what she meant to them. And Dolly, she wrote somewhere around 3,000 songs over her career, most of them on legal pads before she ever touched a guitar to work out a melody. She used to say the lyrics would like come to her in her sleep, and she'd wake up in the dark scrambling to write them down before she lost them. And here's a fact that I just found out. Maybe you guys knew this. She wrote the song Jolene and the song I Will Always Love You on the same day.
Really?
Same sitting, back to back.
I've heard rumors back to back that on that too, that it was one sitting, and then she came out in an interview saying maybe it was in a couple days. So I don't know. That's cool though.
I still consider a couple days back to back. That's right away. I mean, she covered a lot of songs in American music history like it was nothing, and people almost forget she almost didn't get to make country music. Her first label pushed her towards pop, and she had like song after song flop before they finally let her do it the way she wanted to do it. And that's when Dolly was born. And besides that, she has such a great personality.
You are enough, and anyone who tells you otherwise isn't worth your time.
You got this. Yes, I'm talking to you.
Other people didn't always believe in me. And in those times, I had to believe in myself. Plus, nothing's better than proving people wrong. Make a list of the things you love about yourself. And if you tell yourself enough nice things, eventually, you'll believe them too.
Mm. I just saw, too, this morning, Tim Curry, the actor. He just passed away. And
oh my
it's
gosh.
Just like, oh, chill, 2026. Like, yeah. Seriously, it's just I'm still trying to process the Dolly loss. And do you guys have a favorite Dolly Parton song that kind of sticks with you, that you, is like the one you think of when you think of her?
Easily it's Jolene, and I'll tell you why. It's like the insecurity of your man possibly leaving you for another woman, but she never attacks her at all. She's just like, please, begging you that I don't want you to take my man. And it's just a gorgeous melody of songs. And did you hear how this song was the reason why she named it Jolene? Was because of an 8-year-old fan was named Jolene. And she always remembered it. She goes, I love that name. I'm going to make a song about you one day. And here you go. One of the most iconic songs.
About someone cheating on me. Yeah. This little girl's like, wait, I didn't do that.
Innocent,
just for the record.
I swear.
For me, it's got to be the song. It's not one of her most popular, but I just love it so much. Coat of Many Colors. This song, it's about a coat her mom sewed for her out of rags, because they didn't have the money for anything new. And Dolly wore it to school, and she was so like proud of it. Like, oh my gosh, my mom made me this jacket. I look so cool. And then the other kids made fun of her when she wore it. And she was singing about how she could not understand how a coat her mom made for her with love, how that could be seen by anything but like, fabulous, you know.
Yeah.
like Joseph's coat in the Bible. So it's not really a song about being poor. It's a song about like what people choose to see.
Yeah.
Rags or riches, and how the people who love us can turn nothing into something. And that's what really resonated with me with this song.
You know, Dolly is the definition of rags to riches. Like from nothing, one out of 12 kids living in one bedroom. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what really, every time it comes on, I think about how much that song still applies to now, you know, to anyone who's ever had less and still felt rich because of who loved them.
Yeah.
It's like you say, I'm rich because my family loves me. That's the kind of song that doesn't need like big production or, you know, a key change to hit you. I just felt like it was always just so beautiful and so simple, just her voice and the truth of it. So I think now is a perfect time to play another Dolly song. We've been playing them all morning. And then this one, iconic, of course. Whitney Houston covered it, made it even bigger. But let's play I Will Always Love You from Dolly Parton this morning. Rest in peace. What an icon.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Well, everyone's been arguing about AI taking over movies and stuff like that. Australia is quietly going ahead and doing something about the music side of things. The Australian Recording Industry Association just announced that wholly AI-generated songs are officially banned from their weekly charts starting this Friday. And honestly, good.
Yeah.
Like, the new rule says AI-assisted music can only chart if it's substantially human-made and doesn't raise any red flags for stream or chart manipulation. Fully AI tracks are also locked out of the ARIA's Music Awards completely. And here's the part that probably tipped the whole thing over. An AI suspected cover of Madonna's Like a Prayer has been just quietly climbing the charts for weeks, and it actually hit number 4 on the ARIA's top 20 Australian singles chart before anyone even realized what was happening. So now there's an actual rule book. I kind of love that Australia just looked at the whole AI music situation and said, not happening on our charts, pal. You know?
Yeah. I'm kind of like torn on this whole thing, because did you see that Dr. Dre came out and said that, you know, he's openly using AI?
Yeah, I did see that.
And I'm like, I love Dr. Dre. He's created so many great original hits. And then he says that only people who struggle to create music see it as a threat. What do you think of that?
I think that I understand that AI is just a part of society. But if this whole song is AI, that wasn't created by you.
Right.
Why should you get credit? Are you looking for a beat and looking for AI to give you a beat to serve as inspiration for the song that you wrote? I would be more lenient on that. That I couldn't understand where you're utilizing it like, say, an instrument. But if it's all generated by AI, that's an issue with me. The problem is where do you draw that line?
Right.
And I don't have an answer for that.
And
so.
I also think about like the Grammys coming up or in the future, these new categories might come up like, oh, this one was generated by AI. And how do you define a full AI song or it was used as a tool to loop these three bars or whatever? I don't, it's going to get too complicated.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area in that. And I don't know if we're ever going to have an answer that everybody loves on that. But definitely taking a stand in Australia, which I respect. Also this morning, Ryan Gosling has officially entered his cartoon era because he's now producing a live action movie about a grown up Bam Bam from the Flintstones.
Bam Bam! I loved Bam Bam.
Now, to be clear, producing, not confirmed starring. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
I was picturing himself in the little animal print onesie. I was all ready to
with
go.
A bat.
I was so excited. But for anyone who needs a refresher, Bam Bam is Barney and Betty Rubble's kid, best friends with Pebbles, who's the daughter of Fred and Wilma. Back in the day, there was that whole series that was based off of them. Do you remember when they spun off the Pebbles and Bam Bam show?
No.
Very briefly, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know, remember the Flintstones live action back in the 90s?
Yeah, they had a little spinoff show because, you know, I think they had a band or something, if I remember correctly. It's a little fuzzy to me, but if Ryan Gosling somehow does end up in front of the camera for this, who plays Pebbles?
Ooh.
With him?
She's a redhead.
Emma Stone. Oh, reunite Emma Stone.
Or that Sadie, would be cute.
Sadie Sink.
I thought of that, but there's a big age gap there.
Oh, you're
that would
right.
be weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you may be onto something with Emma Stone, but if they're adults, like, are we going, you know, adults in our 30s and 40s? Do they have kids, you know?
They just have to keep the iconic when they start the car. They have their feet that rumble underneath. I love that part.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Finally this morning, buckle up because we've got this full nugget confessional thing happening across the fast food world right now. So Burger King, they just came out and said flat out that their chicken nuggets have been terrible. They said that they have been rubbery and dry, and instead of getting all defensive about it, they are rolling out a brand new recipe along with new sauces, all set to hit restaurants nationwide by September 1st, okay? So keep an eye out for that. Meanwhile, McDonald's is bringing back the spicy chicken McNuggets.
Ooh, I loved those.
I never tried them. Were they good?
They were pretty good. When I dipped them in ranch, though, they were real good.
They have this mighty hot sauce that they're bringing in for the first time in 2 years. That also lands on September 1st. Only a limited run, though, so make sure you don't sleep on that one. Arby's is jumping into the nugget conversation, too. They're bringing back their steak nuggets. I never knew they had steak nuggets.
Me neither.
Steak nuggets with horsey ranch sauce. But the real headline here, I think, is Wendy's. Okay. So their CEO just sat down with the Wall Street Journal and said that they have admitted that their food quality hasn't been their top priority for years.
What?
His exact words were, "We have made some decisions around quality that were rooted in efficiency and cost savings. We have let our value equation erode." And social media's reaction was basically like, yeah, we knew. Like, we could totally tell. So they're like trying to totally revamp food on the fast food side. Do you guys eat fast food very often?
I try not to, but when I do, I go Chick-fil-A.
About once a week, actually.
Really? Where do you typically go?
The nearest ones are Burger King, Taco Bell, McDonald's, probably those three.
What is the verdict on the chicken nuggets from Burger King? Have you had them before?
I only get McNuggets. I've never gotten nuggets anywhere else but McDonald's.
So are you going to try them now that they say that they're rolling out
actually,
this brand new
I'm
recipe.
I'm gonna try all these nuggets. Burger King, Wendy's, see if they up to par.
We should do like a taste test with all the different nuggets and
yes.
see which ones are
I'm
the best.
Down.
Yeah, and like try to figure out. I think the only one we'd be able to know is like if we're getting a steak nugget, right?
Yes.
That would be Arby's right off the bat. It's Mix 94.1.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.